Welcome back to the Staying Christian podcast, or welcome if you haven't been here before. Thank you for stopping in, watching, or listening. If you're watching, we're on a completely different setup because we're just too lazy to sit at the table. We decided we'd stretch out on the couch today.
Exactly. And if you're like, wow, everything looks like a mess, including your hair, Gavin, that's completely correct.
Yeah, that's true. If you haven't been on the podcast before, this is a podcast where we talk about Christianity, becoming a Christian, staying Christian, but mostly staying Christian because we've been doing that. If you're not a Christian, you're still welcome to be here, and we're glad to have you.
Yep. If you hear rain in this episode, that is because we're in a smallish shack studio thing, and yeah, we've got a tin roof, so it rains.
It looks pretty big in the video, but it's
pretty small.
It's about as wide as my arms.
Clearly not.
Clearly about the, yeah, exactly this size. So I'm in my head a lot, and it's kind of weird in there. I'm sure that's what you want to hear from someone you're probably about to hear a lot of things from. But I feel like there's sort of a cerebral plane I kind of sit in where I think about things that people don't normally think about. Okay, so for example...
You talking like from the Lego movie where he goes up in his mind? Yes, and it's empty?
That's exactly what...
That's the picture I get when you say cerebral plane.
Although kind of. Let's say... I gotta hit this wall.
It's like moving around.
It's making kind squeaky of noises.
Squeaky, yeah.
Okay, so you know when you're just going about your day and you kind of forget that we're on a big, big ball of dust and like... there's another smaller ball of dust circling it, and we're all a bunch of different smaller balls of dust going around a big, big sun, a big flaming ball of radioactive explosions.
Right. So, kind of when you mention cerebral plane, you're talking like oversimplifying things sometimes.
No. I'm talking about actually thinking about things that you don't normally think about.
You're just kind of zooming out and zoom back in, like Google Earth style, as far as a metaphor.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty much always in that space, and I call that kind of my cerebral plane. So there's a lot of things that I think about, which some of those things are the things I wanted to even start the podcast to talk about, kind of like where space news was born.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk about the things that science have found that God has made that I think is pretty incredible. And I have a few of those things, but I just wanted to preface and say, I know these will sound weird and kind of out there and you'll be like, huh? And frankly, I'm right there with you, but
I too am there with you.
we can blame
the cerebral plane,
songwriters, cerebral plane, and NASA. You can blame all of it for this.
Okay, cool.
So I was thinking about it, and if you think about it in like Genesis,
I was thinking about it.
Before you know, sin really gets bad. Humans live for a very, very long time. I feel like I've mentioned this part before.
Yeah, you have. Yep.
Humans live for a very long time, and then sin got so bad that...
Whoa. It's a storm. I don't know if you guys caught that thunder. That was like some deep thunder.
Yeah. It was like shook the couch. I was like, what are you doing to the couch?
Yeah, anyways, continue.
But sin got so bad that God literally shortened humans' lifespans.
Right.
And sin... is the causation for our cell degradation, you know, which I think is weird because now we only live 70 years.
Yeah, I mean, there was that one lady in Japan that lived to like 130 or
no,
something.
I'm not saying it's not possible.
Right.
But I'm saying like, even when you think about health, you're like, positive attitude that makes you live longer.
Yeah.
When really that's just a correlation to living longer, I think. If you think about it, like, okay, a positive attitude comes along with living the way God intended. Yeah. So if you're living the way God intended, you have a good attitude and you live longer.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, you are probably miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And you're not actually living.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you kind of just...
Yeah.
Dying very slowly.
I mean,
slowly.
I will say there's like actual science to back that up as well.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, these things are like scientifically proven, but you know,
you're how saying much it starts in the mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of saying like there are things that I'm like, we don't ever think about this. You know, I don't sit and look at the stars and I'm like, wow, that's 3.5 billion light years away, you know?
Right.
You know, and, you know, there's stuff like this. Like, for example, time is a concept we've made up, you know,
yeah,
to mark the passage of that degradation or our rise and fall of civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mark time solely based on how fast our planet spins and goes around another ball,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
You know, and we're like, oh, okay, so this planet spins 3 times faster than ours, so we're going to call it 3 years, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, we have time marked, and we choose to change time twice every year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much almost everyone does.
Yeah.
For daylight savings.
Yeah.
So, like, time is completely made up.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, the effects of it, the time is just a label we've given to, like you said, degradation,
yeah.
you know, things composting and dying.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a way to measure basically and estimate how long is right. left.
But you don't necessarily always think about, okay, time is something we all just sort of agree to.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
And then when you say, oh, God's outside of time, people are like, oh, you're making weird statements right now.
Right.
But no, not really. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, am I off the rails?
You're not off the rails, no.
I feel like I'm throwing us off the rails.
No, I feel like what you're doing is you're just like, ah, the universe. And
I'm like, here's what I'm
thinking about. That's what it feels like.
I feel like I'm actually excited about this stuff, but the way I'm coming off is like, this is serious business.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah, I didn't realize that, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'll think about similar stuff occasionally when I'm not thinking about nothing, which yeah. is often what I'll think about.
Another thing, this one came out of reading a lot of C.S. Lewis, which C.S. Lewis will do it to you, man.
Yeah.
Is just how commonly forgotten it is that terrestrial beings like us and like animals is just really strange.
Yeah, I did think recently I wigged myself out when I was just like, have you ever just sat in one place and just been like, and you get like this almost out of body, not out of body experience. It sounds so like
mystical.
Like mystical and like yeah. you're in like a dojo somewhere and someone's drawing sand patterns while you have your feet up in weird positions on, as you know, this cross leg applesauce pose or something. I don't know. But what I mean is like you just sit and think long enough about existing
mm-hmm.
and then you just like, you kind of like get thrown back and you're like, who is me?
Who is
you
me? Know?
You're like, how am I me? Why can't I just exist everywhere? Why can Eli, is Eli just fake? Am I the only, have you ever had those? I've had, they're entirely oh, yeah. selfish thoughts,
yeah.
but like you'll have them and you're like, what, is everyone just fake and I'm the only
mine
one?
Mine is always.
Or.
Mine is always, why am I me?
Yeah, and that, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Because that this is weird. I feel like we're going way in deep.
Yeah, now. We're probably, everyone is now kind of lost and just like.
The main point I'm trying to make is, and I actually want to come back to this.
Okay.
But what I was saying was terrestrial beings, like bipedal or quadrupedal animals, like right. they aren't the natural state of the universe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so.
They're kind of not. And like...
You mean as the fact of...
No, like if you look at anywhere else, I'm not saying that we couldn't exist other places.
Right.
You know, like God wouldn't make... But it's kind of unlikely
mm-hmm.
for animals like us to exist. Like we have. I'm not saying we're animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think we were made differently.
Yeah.
But it's just not the natural state from what we've
seen. Like, we've got this little planet way out in the Milky Way,
mm-hmm.
in our little solar system,
mm-hmm.
and we're bipedal. We've built cities.
Mm-hmm.
We've built nuclear reactors.
Right. And another funny thing is, in a lot of sci-fi, every alien species is sort of humanoid.
Yeah. We can't help but project that.
We can't help but project that.
Yep.
And the reason I said this comes from like C.S. Lewis is in his space trilogy, his aliens are not like that.
Hmm.
They're, well, some of them kind of are, but they're like, they're heavily exaggerated in different ways based on science on how they would actually live, whatever. But like, I was realizing terrestrial beings are solely God's creation, you know, because like, if you look at, you could exist matter and it would just be there. You know, scientists will say the likelihood of us existing in general was very small, like incredibly small.
Sure.
Like you'd have to roll the same dice 1700 times.
Right.
And it all roll the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'm probably getting the number wrong, but it's definitely not 1700, but like, that's the kind of chances. And like, it's just kind of so weird to think, hey, here we are, we're normal. This is our normal thing.
But when we're so very strange.
We're so very strange.
In comparison to like every other planet, every, like, we've got a massive telescope out there and we're finding nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely squat. Just a bunch of cool planets and no other life.
I'm not here to say God hasn't made other life on other planets. I don't even know that. I'm not even going to pretend to know what God has or hasn't done on other planets.
Sure.
But what I am trying to say is, you know, I do think we are created, and I think that it's just so, we are strange. We are the exception, it seems like.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, oh, we're something super special. So great.
I mean, we are.
But
God
did
say.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He set us apart.
I mean to say, when you look at the natural state of particles,
yeah,
they don't naturally just form a human being.
Sure. Yeah. 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 I know what you're saying.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. To add on to that, we were a buddy of mine, Jaron, recently on the podcast. We were watching Chernobyl, the miniseries.
You guys watching Chernobyl without me?
Well, I mean, I think you were gone. Maybe you weren't gone. Maybe I don't remember. But either way, we came down here. We have a TV right up here, and we started watching Chernobyl, and it's about a nuclear power plant that explodes, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it was a real historical
event. Yeah, it's a real historical event. Yeah. But like afterwards, we were both looking up nuclear reactors, and we still have like, I think, 59 active nuclear sites in the U.S. alone, you know? And I'm just like, it's crazy that we as humans have figured out how to split an atom, something we can't even see.
Yep.
And we're splitting it and using it for energy so we can drive our cars and, you know, turn on the lights. I don't know. That's just me being, astounded at our species.
I've mentioned that I've watched and listened to hundreds of videos on nukes and stuff like that. And, you know, the likelihood that we, the realization that we haven't blown ourselves up yet is, no, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Is the biggest, like, how ever. You know, I have to think like God intervened somehow.
Yeah.
For example,
no kidding.
There was a scenario where a plane with a primed atomic bomb crashed in Pennsylvania and almost blew up, and it would have started a war, and it wouldn't have been the Russians that started the war.
Oh my gosh.
And there were planes that flew over Russia, and if they had been shot down, it would have started the Cold War. And they almost shot him down, but they didn't at the last second.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like, there's at least seven of those close call scenarios that almost happened.
That's crazy.
And it's like,
God wants us to stick around a little longer
I think something's happening. You know? I'm not saying anything for certain, but I'm saying like, it's pretty remarkable.
I mean, yeah.
Makes sense. So what you were saying about, I feel like we're getting heavily metaphysical, but I think that's I don't care. I like talking about this kind of stuff. So if you guys don't, then I'm sorry, but this is kind of where
sorry, not sorry. It's our podcast.
he was talking about when you sit there and you're like, why am I me?
Yeah.
You know, because I think about myself, I'm like, I am conscious of who I am.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about other people. And I'm like, why did God make me? And so
you're kind of totally had that.
Since you can't really see into whether you don't really have much proof apart from someone's word that they're like you in that sense, you know?
Right, right.
So you've got some sort of isolation and you're like, okay, am I somehow special?
Yeah.
That God made me in a way that can see, hear, analyze, deal with, you know? And there's some stuff that you're like, oh, of course not, because people have made things and, you know, consciously made choices for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But in a way you're like, okay, why am I made?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have something? And, you know, you can think about that. You're like, okay, of course we all think, do I have some greater purpose?
Sure. Yeah.
But when I sit there, I'm like, what's going on with me? And I feel like I don't have any other words to explain it. But do you understand what
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
You know,
when I was younger and had a lot more time on my hands, I remember just sitting around, because like I'd get in the car and I'd just be like, I'm like, when are we going to get there? Dad's like, you're along for the ride. So I had plenty of time to think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I would think about all that stuff. Just be like, am I special?
Yeah.
Am I the only one like mm-hmm. this? You know, and then growing up, you're just like, no, I'm definitely not. And then,
I mean, I think we kind of are in a way, and this is where I'm kind of coming to.
Okay.
Is like, I've kind of determined for myself, yeah, God gave me a certain background, certain things to grow up in, and certain aspirations that are holy,
mm-hmm.
that are set apart and righteous. And it's like, I feel like he gave me those things, but they aren't all that controls me. There's still something inside of me, which is actually something else I wanted to bring today about something else. Like, there is something that God gave us, which is what, you know, would call free will or whatever.
Right.
That lets us choose what to do with those things, you know? So we're not just a product of our environment or our situation or whatever, because we can choose our attitude about anything in any mm-hmm. scenario. You can choose to let someone offend you.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
You know, you could say, oh, that could potentially, you know, make me mad. Mm-hmm. But you can choose to let that make you mad and stuff.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about, is I can choose what to do with something. And so in a way, I'm like, God gave me all of these tools for something,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if I think I know what that is and I'm like going for it, then that's like kind of like my purpose.
Right.
You know, and that's when I finally feel like, okay, here's what I'm here for. But then it's like, mm-hmm. am I being too, I'm sorry, I'm going on another thing. But then it's like, am I being selfish by saying, this is my purpose? God made me solely for this purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and I always feel kind of weird, like, oh, here I am, I'm going to be some prophet and whatever. And, you know, maybe that's too much credit and, you know, whatever. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. What I do know is, when I am doing something that I really love, like mm-hmm. a passion, like, for example, photography or video,
mm-hmm.
like I get something
mm-hmm.
and it's really weird, because I'm like, this is what I love. This is what I feel like I was made to do.
Yeah.
When you get that, it's like, I don't know where this is going to take me,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like God put this in my lap. This is a talent, you know, God did give certain people certain talents,
right?
You know, and I don't know about predestination or anything like that. I don't even know why I mentioned that. I don't want to go down that road. But I feel like God gave us talents. And who knows where those are going to lead us. I don't know, like you said, that we can necessarily say, like, oh, this is the thing right here.
Right.
You know? I definitely think some people have, I guess. I'm thinking of missionaries and such, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly get this calling to some place and they're like, this is what I'm here for.
Right.
But like, even then, they may think maybe it's to help this other person or start this hotel or something. And in the end, it's something totally different. God is just going to use you different ways.
Right.
And in different places, you know, you mm-hmm. you can't know the mind of God. It's too vast.
Right.
So.
Don't have the physical capacity.
I mean, yeah, we're humans and he's God. So
God's brain is 600 terabytes. And I'm a 100 gig.
I'm a 100 gig
SD card.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to be like, hey, I think sometimes when we get in that mental space of like, here's all these big things I don't normally think about, we kind of just push it away because like, oh, here's our world we've created. Here's our society we've created. Let's just put that aside for now because that's not relevant.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's not relevant right now. When really that is the reality of the universe. That is where we all are or come back to when we're alone. And that's not something we should just forget about, I think, you know? And I know I apologized profusely in the beginning. Like, here's all these things that I'm sorry if they're weird and whack and out of hand. But I really do feel like that's kind of where we all are mentally and spiritually at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day.
Right.
And it's only the stimulus of a world we've created.
An environment, yeah.
An environment we've created.
We've built.
That makes us think that it's anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is a great segue into what I was actually going to say, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Recently I've been just like trying to get off social media somewhat in the sense of I've been cutting down on people I follow and things like that and trying to hide apps that I don't really need to get distracted with, you know? And then also when I'm at home cooking lunch, just not turning on music or not watching a YouTube video while doing it, just to stop the constant stimulating and not stimulating even, it's the entertainment of my mind.
Yeah.
And just let me, I'm like, there's birds singing outside.
Yep.
There's this reality that I'm ignoring around me because I'm constantly bombarding myself with other entertainment and things other people have created. And like I was talking to my buddy, he was like, in the end, I feel like when you do that enough, you start to let the world think for you because you start to be controlled by this giant algorithm. This sounds so weird. What I'm trying to say is you watch enough videos and all that, that all these other people's ideas are coming into your brain and you, it gets so clogged up, you don't have enough space to create your own ideas.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. There's probably some flaws in that, but I do think there's some truth in that. So like you said, there's this reality that like we just get so caught up in our phones and our society that it's just like, who are we as humans?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like who am I? When you, Grant said this, that Dallas Willard said the definition of reality is when, what is it? When you realize you're wrong is reality.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of bump up against something. You bump up and you're just like, huh?
Yeah.
What's going on? You look up and you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
This is reality because you've just run into something that you didn't even expect or know was there. That's reality. So recently I've been trying to get outside more and just being like, this is the world I live in. Maybe this just sounds weird.
No, I don't think it's
this. Weird. You know, like there's people around here. I need to be looking in the eye and they matter. And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with all that, except that's something that just being more present in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is going to help me actually think deeply like what you're doing, you know, and thinking deeply so important.
Well, what's also funny is how much I'm even still stimulated. You know, I have my phone, I listen to music or something all day, but I don't know. Last night, I know we've said this before. We've said something before about stars, I think. Where we've said, hey, just get outside just looking and look up at the stars. And it's such a great stimulus for me to actually see reality again. I went to check the mail the other night because I finally got some time around 10 o'clock. And we have this mailbox that's down the street. It's not like right at our house.
It was like a neighborhood, like big collage of mailboxes.
And so I walk down there and I see Gaben and Jaren and they're picking up trash and whatever.
We do the neighborhood trash pickup.
And I talked to them for a minute and we were just talking and I was like, all right, see ya. And instead of turning on music or looking at my phone as I was walking down the road, I just put my phone in my pocket. And I was using my flashlight, but I turned it off. I just sat there and looked up and I was just thinking about God, really. And it was just really refreshing. And I looked up and I posted the picture of it today, but it was Orion was perfectly nestled between the trees there and this building we have. And it was just perfectly in the sky. And I just sat there and looked at it for a minute. And of course I had to take a picture because it's awesome. And that's always been like my favorite constellation, Orion.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of felt like, oh, God was like, hey, you know, not like, hey, here's some revelation. But it was like, hey, I see you.
Yeah.
You know? And then I just, you know, found myself singing and I just walked home.
Yeah.
And it was peaceful, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to. Oh, here's the other thing I was going to say. Was I have this, there are these YouTube videos I watch where it's a camera sitting in the International Space Station looking at the Earth.
Yeah.
You know, and I just put that on my other monitor at work because I only need one monitor to do my job. And instead of, you know, watching whatever else, which I'm not saying I don't watch whatever else because I certainly do.
Rain's coming down, man.
Rain's coming. We're going to get flooded in. I'll watch this video of literally orbiting our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of actual civilization I see is like minuscule.
Right.
Because you just see the face of the. Oh.
Dude. We got a legit storm here.
Wow.
Sorry, you guys.
ASMR
storm here.
Nature sounds.
Yeah, legit.
Hey, here's the reality.
No kidding. Yeah. Reality is there's a storm outside.
Yeah, there it is. So what I was trying to say is like the amount of civilization on the face of the planet when you just look at it is like next to nothing. And the astronauts that come down will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, yeah, you look down at the Earth and there's no indication that any human beings live there.
I mean, except at night, I guess. Yeah, you see all those
except
lights.
At night.
Yeah.
Because we have so many lights.
Yeah.
But during the day, you look down and there's almost zero indication that humans live there.
Hmm.
And I just put that on and I'm like, this is it. It's not about me.
Right.
You know, oh, here's my dog. Here's Gavin's dog. Here's our dog.
Yeah, if you guys are watching video, my dog just popped up from the carpet where she was laying down.
Angel.
Angel, come here.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I went on a long spiel about...
Yeah.
About no,
I feel like it was good.
All that stuff. And it was probably pretty long, but I don't know. I think it's... Brant Hanson says this jokingly all the time about how it's good to reflect and whatever. And then he breaks in with a funny segment.
Breaking animal news,
but
yeah.
It is an actually important thing sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
To sit and be like, okay. You know, because we do have so much distraction. And yeah. I genuinely think that's a tactic from the deceiver to make us not think about our reality.
Yep.
Is to have so much stimulus that we can't actually... think about what's really going on.
Bam, that's the cap of this whole segment right there, what you just said.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it really is. Like, there's so much... Sorry, my mic's far away. There's so much stimulus that we are getting. We forget what reality we live in.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know... And something my uncle told me recently. He's a web designer, so he's on the web all day, you know? And he's done a lot of research and listened to a lot of stuff about the web and such. Anyways, he said people of this generation have lost the art of being bored.
Yeah.
And the art of being bored is important because you get to think deeply.
Yeah.
Because when you're bored, what do you have to do? Oh, well, I guess we'll just think, mm-hmm. you know? And we'll just start thinking and following thought trails. And then you start thinking, like, what am I? Who am I? What is my purpose? You know, and you start to ask these questions that are really important and foundational, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something I've lost is being bored.
Yeah, I think so. I think that you only get bored when it's forced upon you, kind of. You know, like, oh,
yeah.
I forgot to bring my phone in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, here I am.
I guess we're here. Yeah.
And it's like, and you just think, it's either that or I guess I'm picking up this weird shampoo bottle and reading what's on the back of it. You know?
100%, yeah.
And we gotta have something nowadays.
Yep.
These Zoomers.
We're addicted.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's an important realization to have. And I know I started this kind of weird, but
here we are.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't feel like there's anything else left to say there. You had a good little end cap here.
Yeah.
I feel like the enemy's using this stimulus that we become addicted to.
Yeah.
To get us to stop from looking at reality and reality
if you're looking at yourself objectively, then you're a danger to his plan of keeping you distracted.
Yep.
When we're talking about gifts and stuff, I was realizing, you know, you were like, oh, my gift thing is video or whatever.
Sure.
And I was like, what's my kind of gift thing? Because for a long time, I'm like, all right, this is what I think God has told me to do. You know, be a writer, articulate stuff in a good way that makes sense, that people can understand. And, you know, I feel like sometimes that really pays off. And I feel like God's kind of pushed me in that direction. But then, oh shoot, I lost my whole thing. It's all gone. It's all gone.
You're talking about your gifts. What are your gifts for? And you've wondered what your gift is, even writing possibly or not.
Yeah. Oh, what I was saying was I just sat down and started talking. And I feel like sometimes that's my thing.
That's your thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not.
Nah. Maybe. It's entirely a possibility. Ooh. Dude, I love the sound of thunder.
I used to love it nonstop. Like, I could sit there. Now, it just makes me be like, is everything taken care of? I was talking about something I feel like is another spiritual attack on me specifically, which was that it was kind of like a spiritual social handicap. This is what I wrote it down as. So something I do, and I think it's, I haven't really thought this is, oh, excuse me. I haven't really thought about it a lot, but it was something that I felt was kind of actually happening to me. It was where, so for example, I really want to be recording my own videos a lot. You know, sometimes I get stuck not editing them, and that's all my fault because I don't take the time to edit, and I don't find the motivation to. You know, that's just my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But when I want to record videos, I have all these ideas for them. So what I wanted to do one time was get a lavalier mic, which is that little mic, little microphone, and you stick it to like the inside of your
shirt
or on your collar or whatever, and it captures your voice so that you don't have to have one of these big mic stands right next to your face.
You can walk around. It's like a mobile mic.
Yeah, you can walk around. They use it at like weddings and stuff like that. And it's pretty discreet, so you don't really see it. So I really wanted one for a video idea where I was mobile. I wasn't at my desk. And I was thinking about it and thinking about it, and I remembered Gavin had one. And I was like, And I was like, no, I'll get my own. You know, and so I started looking it up, and I was like, I can't afford one of those right now. I don't have a big enough budget for videos to do this right now. And so I just haven't bought one. And here's another example. I don't ask to charge my phone on someone's phone charger anymore because I always have one with me. I make a point to have one with me, have one everywhere I go. But when other people need to charge their phones, they will ask me to charge their phones, like at my desk at work. They will be like, hey, do you have a charger? Because they're mobile. They can't really... They can carry a battery or something with them, but it's not always something that they're doing. So they ask me to charge their phone at their thing, and I charge it, and then they come and get it later. And it's nice to see them when they come do that. So I realized there's something I'm doing, forsaking borrowing something or forsaking doing something for the sake of personal independence. And it's making me less social with those who bring me life right. Or it gives me less opportunity to potentially give life to people. And so, like, I know that if I wanted to go borrow a lavalier mic from Gavin, yeah, it would be like a little bit of a hassle. Like, oh, let me find it. Oh, here it is. You know, hey, do you still have that? Can you bring it back soon? I need it for this thing. You know, there would be all of that discourse, but he would still be certainly happy to give me a lavalier mic.
100%.
I could stop in. We could have a conversation. If we haven't talked it this week, we could have a conversation and it would be really good. It would probably bring some Christ into our lives.
Right.
And
it's all for the sake of, oh, personal independence. You know, it's all good and all, you know, being independent, right. And those are all good things, but they can become a, you know, what's the word when you,
an idol,
not an idol, when it basically isolator for you, you know, instead of you're thinking you're helping the other person in the end, but in the end, right. You're actually not even helping them because maybe they needed to see someone that day. And I mentioned Eli, he told this to me and I was like, dude, you need to mention that on the podcast because it's real. Like, I struggle with that because I don't like accepting anything from anyone, and because I want to be independent, and also I don't want to owe anyone anything. You know what I mean? Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be have to be obliged or anything like that.
I don't want to be seen as a charity case.
Sure, sure.
Someone who needs help from other people. I want to be able to stand on my own. I think that it'll help me, and it will. It'll help me take care of other people if I'm stable.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But there's a point at
which I feel like I kind of held that up so high, especially recently, that I was like, oh, I don't need other people's help. Like, for the first time in months, I rode in someone else's car to work. In months. I never do that for the sake of, you know, I'm independent, you know, I can take care of myself. However, if my car broke down, I would be dependent on someone, you know? And I think that's literally just an ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's something that I need to take a good look at personally.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that applies to a lot of people. I think that as a guy, it kind of applies. As a man, you want to feel... you want to be secure.
Not to rule out any of the ladies out there.
Yeah, though. Definitely not.
Yeah.
But... I think personally, from my experiences as a guy and hearing from Gavin at least, that it's kind of something we do. You know, we want to be this way. You know, we want to be secure. We don't want to have to ask for help every time.
That's exactly. Every you don't want to have to ask for help or anything. And what's funny is I'll even at my parents' house, my mom will be like, oh, do you want some dinner tonight? And I'm like, no, Mom. I have dinner at home. I can go cook. I can cook for myself. I will be fine.
Right.
You know? And there's a point at which that almost, it's not good anymore.
It deprives you from hanging out with your parents.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which my mom and dad are probably listening to this and be like, Shawnee, you come on over, son.
Yeah.
But it's real. Like, you don't want to accept anything from anyone. And that can be good if you're someone who just like borrows stuff and uses stuff from everyone and never returns or anything like that, you know? Right. But there's a point at which it becomes more of an ego thing than a, I guess, improving yourself thing. I don't know how to classify that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. It stops being beneficial and it becomes an ego factor.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just something going on with me.
And me.
I thought that was a point.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like other people will relate to that. Probably. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe email in, you guys, or text or DM.
Yeah.
So we don't feel like we're alone in this.
I mean,
maybe we are.
I know those specific examples are probably alone. I'm probably alone on those. Yeah, probably not the driving one. Because I know a few people who drive into work solely because they don't want to feel like they have to rely on someone.
Yeah. I've definitely been guilty of that. I got my own car and I'm like, nope, don't want to rely on anyone.
Right.
This is my car. I can do it. You know, I don't need your help.
Right.
Yeah.
I had something small else. I meant to mention it with everything else, but it's not a big deal if we don't do it. I know this storm is kicking up, and I'm afraid the tree's gonna fall on the power line.
We'll be fine. I mean, we're literally powering it all through battery, this whole system.
That's true.
So if everything died, we'd still be fine.
Yeah, that's...
The camera would still record. It has a battery inside of it.
That would shut off, though.
Oh, our light would shut off, though.
And our light.
Yeah.
We just turn on our flashlights on our phone. And
just turn it upwards.
What I was going to say was, I was recently, and I still am, listening to this book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl.
You're just a reader, man. Like, I don't know how you get through so many books.
It was free on Audible. So
okay.
I was like, I'll read this. And I remember somebody mentioning it. I don't remember who did. Because I listen to a lot of people. Oh, look at me. I listen to a lot of people. But it's a guy who got out of a concentration camp in, I think he was actually in Auschwitz and then a few others. But he got out from there, and he was a psychologist, I think. He was a doctor.
When he went in or once he
came out?
Yeah,
when he went in.
Okay.
And when he came out, he was like, here's what I found, you know? And one of the biggest things that, you know, appeared to me through all of this stuff that he says and all this, which is, it's a great book, I think. I think if you're, like, there are a lot of books that talk about that stuff that are, like, really in detail. Mm-hmm. That'll make you really squeamish, right. And as it should, because it's horrible, horrible events.
Yeah.
But he doesn't go into great detail. He's like, okay, yeah, this stuff happened. Other people said it. I'm just going to tell you what it did to us.
Right.
You know? And he described this thing that happens where at some point there is nothing that their captors could do to them that would make them lose hope. You know, they could do anything horrible, anything. And, you know, it's up to their personal choice whether or not, you know, what they do with it.
Right.
Like, there are people who just went to apathy, where they just completely shut down and didn't care anymore. Didn't care if, like, they just laid in bed for forever and they were dragged out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, I know this is pretty graphic, I'm sorry. But, like, there's, like, those kind of things where at some point you make the choice to be hopeful, to move forward, and whatever. And I really think that is God's free will that he gave us.
Right.
The power to have mind over matter.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to explain it, really. I wrote here, the one freedom no captor can take from mankind is the choice. The free will God gave us to choose how to act on any circumstance. I also had a few other notes about that free will that I wrote at different times, not in line with this. For example, I wrote that something Brant Hansen said on his podcast, which is a good podcast, the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, shout out, was that God made us so free that we're allowed to reject him.
Yeah.
You know, and he gives us that choice, you know, and loves us anyways.
Yeah.
I had another point. I don't remember.
I don't remember what it is. Yeah, that's interesting.
Don't remember. But
never actually connected that. Like, I've listened to some of those. My mom read us the Louis Zamperini story, you know, and he went through the concentration camp. And
in there was a Japan, point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a point, just like you said, that they all hit, that they was just like, you can't do anything else. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember connected that to how could I act, you know, like, right. I can have that mind over matter, which is really, really right. Cool. Yeah.
I mean, and we kind of dealt with some of that. And I know we talked about the boot camp stuff before, but we kind of dealt with, no way am I comparing Auschwitz to
yeah,
boot camp.
No
I'm
kidding.
Not doing that. I promise. Yeah. What I'm saying though, is there's a point where you yourself have to make choices, and the power that any of the choices you make is what happens with you. It is mind-boggling. I can choose to be mad about any little thing someone says to me all day, or I can choose to say, okay, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way, and move on, and it genuinely not bother me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can choose to not do that. I can choose to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's literally up to me.
Yeah. I think that's where that verse comes in, you know, take every thought captive. That's not just for like, quote, evil thoughts. It's a thing of, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Am I going to choose the fleshly response to this, or am I going to choose a different, possibly godly response to this?
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I listened to that book, Man's Search for Meaning, I was thinking about, okay, what would, like, you kind of just project yourself a little bit. Okay, what would I do if I was in this concentration camp? You know?
Yeah, sure.
And as a Christian guy, I probably would have been, you know, executed on the spot. Who knows? But I was like, okay, would I be like trying to give hope to people, or would I fall into apathy? Yeah. You know, it would eventually be my choice. No matter what, you know, you can have all your dignity taken away from you, but at the end of the day, so is everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that scenario anyways.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could just say, I'm a victim. I'm allowed to feel. I'm allowed to feel upset that I was undignified.
If you're a Christian, you're...
I mean, Jesus was stripped naked and whipped before he was put on the cross.
Yeah, all his dignity was taken from him.
Yeah.
As a Christian, our bodies, I was reading in 1 Corinthians, are no longer our own.
Well, here's something about Jesus, man, is at any point, he had the power to call armies of angels to stop his crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
To stop human beings from being horrible to him.
Yeah.
At any point. But he thought about the fact that going through the sacrifice of his own body to cleanse us of our sins was way more valuable than his own suffering. His own physical pain.
Yeah.
Which was horrible.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't wish crucifixion on anyone, you know, when you really think about it.
Yeah, no kidding. We've had it explained by the pastor here. Yeah.
And I've, you know, you watch, what is it? Passion of the Christ, I think. Have you seen
that? I don't know that I've seen that, actually. Anything? I really want to, actually, because that's it's a good
your point. Other roommate, not Jaron, he was talking about it one time, and he said when I watched it, I cried like he was crying the whole time.
Huh. Be fun to watch it with him.
Fun to watch it with
see him cry, maybe. Well, more than that, just like have someone that's emotional watch it too, to kind of basically take in the movie in its full entirety.
Right.
Entirety.
I don't, actually don't know that I've seen the whole thing. I think it's been on once, in my household, and I was there.
It was directed by some dude, and it's gone down in
Mel
film.
Gibson.
Yeah, it's gone down in film legend and folklore. Yeah. And
well,
such.
He actually funded the whole movie himself.
Mel Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then since he didn't have to, since he didn't have any of the sponsors to dish out the earnings to, he earned all of this money from the sale.
That's crazy.
So he funded the whole movie himself, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
Anyways, we're movie nerds. We could talk about stuff like that all the time.
No kidding.
But I don't know. I just think I think God gave us that thing that could make us resilient, you know?
Yeah.
And we make the choice how to live every day,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
It's like, I know like they say like the first couple hours of the day, you know, your morning is when you really decide what your mood is for the day. You know, it's like, but you can literally change that at any point just by recognizing the fact that you can change your mood at any point. You know, I'm not saying that to say, hey, your mood's horrible right now. You need to change it. But I'm saying like, for me, I can be through the day and be like, oh, this is happening again. And I can do any number of complaining, any number of like literally anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I can change it for the worse or for the better by solely determining whether or not I want to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have full control over our faculties. And frankly, that's the only thing we can control.
Yep, that's true.
So.
Guess if frankly you're right. Yeah.
I feel like I talked a lot
No, that's a good note to end that on, I feel like.
And I apologize.
That is the one thing we really can control is ourselves and our attitudes.
Well, what else can you control?
Yeah.
I can't control you. And you could stab me in the face. And this,
with this little gig stick right
and
here.
Then it would, and then it would be done.
And then the podcast would be over.
Very graphic way to end a podcast.
Yep. But, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. You're the only thing you control, man.
Yep.
And I think that the fact that we can even control anything, that's a gift in itself.
Yeah.
All right. Because one more thing. You know, when you really think about it, Jesus was raised for the dead or he wasn't, right? And either way, that's a terrifying realization. Because if he didn't, we are in control of nothing. And nothing exists for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But if he did, then that, like, in a way, that's also terrifying.
Yep.
Because we have to change. Everything does mean something. And life just is important. And, you know, we want to have both. We want to have our cake and eat it too, you know?
Yeah.
Where we don't have the responsibility of our actions, but we have the choice to make them without repercussions, you know?
We want other people to treat us well, but have the ability to treat other people badly.
Yeah.
You know, without repercussions and, you know.
So, I don't know.
Yep. I feel like it's a good note to end on.
I'll stop talking now.
Yeah, stop talking, Eli. You've just been blabbering.
It's my gift. What could I say?
The gift of blab.
The gift of blabber. Watch me get to heaven, and God's like, yeah, that's the name I put it on. Yeah. That's blabber.
Blabber.
Assigned to how many people? Oh, just one.
Just Eli.
Just Eli.
All right, you gonna end it? Let's end it.
Sure, man.
I may apologize for my hair because it looks absolutely horrendous tonight. I look. Yeah.
Apologizing, Gavin.
I'm appalled at myself.
Your hair looks fine, dude.
It's just, I don't know. Anyways. Finish us off.
All right, buddy. You sure I haven't talked enough?
No, you're good.
All right.
I'll just edit you out of the podcast.
Edit the whole thing.
Yep.
It'll just be you being like, yep. That's true.
That's true. Facts. Mm-hmm. Facts, my dude.
Thank you guys so much for watching this episode of the Staying Christian podcast.
Or listening
to it.
Yeah. Those are most of it.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the discrimination. Discrimination against the listeners.
Oh my gosh.
You started as listeners and now maybe you're watchers. Who knows?
Maybe.
The reason I say watchers, we have a YouTube channel. We put all these on there.
Yeah, which honestly, if you don't watch, no biggie. I don't even watch the videos.
Sometimes I don't
edit
either.
Them, and but, then I'll revisit them, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like, how dare you? We put so much work into the video side of this, and you just ignore it? Come on.
How dare you?
We hope you enjoyed it.
Man.
Yeah. Sorry for talking so long. I thought it was worth talking about. Maybe it's not. I guess we'll find out. If you didn't think it was, you can let me know. You can send me an email, stayingchristian@gmail.com. Send him an email at stayingchristian@gmail.com.
Yeah, about how little I talked.
You can DM us at stayingchristian on Instagram.
Yeah, if you follow our Instagram page, we will give updates because recently we have missed 3 weeks because we release an episode every week. We try to release it on Monday morning.
Yeah.
But we'll actually give you guys updates on there when we remember. So,
yeah.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. Also, there's some just horrifying images of our faces on there as well.
Potatoes, crocodile-looking faces.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought I looked like a
frog.
A frog on one of them.
Basically, so. Kermit.
Yeah, so. I am the new Kermit. Yeah. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Gavin appreciates it.
I do.
Speaking for Gavin because. This point, I just do all the speaking.
At this point,
yeah. Thank you.
Yep. I guess we can do our outro now.
Yeah.
Is there? I feel like we're missing something. Oh well. Here we go.
I feel like we were too. I don't know what it was. But
it's a professional podcast for sure. Stay real, you guys.
Stay Christian, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. We should start a band.
There was nothing to that song at all.
All right.